need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet inspiration,
everybody, it's Tuesday night again. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast. That means it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson. Welcome to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd care to do so, you know the drill. Interact with comments and questions on Twitter. I'll try to keep an eye on that. Follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Now let's get going. My first guest tonight is Jeff Dunitz. You know him. You love him. Jeff Dunitz is a conservative and a Jew embedded in the Blue Territory of Long Island. His political news and commentary can be found at his own sites, LidBlog and LidsVids, and at his weekly political column in the Jewish Star. Dunitz also hosts his own show, The Lid, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on SHR Media. Jeff, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you doing, Tammy?
I'm doing good. I need to let everybody know I told Jeff I wanted to have him on, but he could not wear his Harvey Weinstein costume on the show tonight. And even though we don't have video, nevertheless, I have standards, Jeff.
That's okay. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt that has pictures of matzo balls that says, "Do you Jews eat any other part of the matzo?"
Oh, that's terrible.
I know, but it's I'm reading it verbatim.
Okay, that's very funny. And I've had matzo ball soup and matzo balls and very, very good stuff. So.
Yeah. I guess because I'm used to it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was wonderful. I had a gal make chicken soup with matzo balls in it, and it was delicious.
But I called my brother today.
You did?
Yeah, well, you brought up Harvey Weinstein. You know, the thing is...
What did you call your brother?
Well, you know, they started, you know, going after his brother saying, "Hey, how come you didn't know?"
Oh.
So I called my brother and said, "Paul, you're not doing anything like that, are you?" Because
you want to be on top of it.
I don't want to get, you know, caught, you know, in 20 years.
Accused of ignorance and non-intervention.
Of course, he'll be 90 in 20 years. So if he is doing that, you know, why not 90? But anyway.
Hey, let's talk a little bit to begin with about Iran. Now, you've written a lot about this. You've been on top of this subject. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. You had an article on Friday titled "President Trump to Iran: The Days of U.S. Appeasement and Capitulation Are Over," and it begins like this. In a speech to the nation Friday, President Trump announced he would not certify the Iran nuclear deal, but instead of asking Congress to reimpose sanctions on the rogue nation, he asked Congress to revise Corker-Cardin, officially the Iran Nuclear Agreement Review Act, INARA, to set trigger points that would reinstate sanctions on Tehran if it doesn't meet certain requirements. But what he really announced was the days of a president of the United States and the national security team appeasing Iran and capitulating to their every demand are over. This is a new president who puts America first, unlike the old one who put his legacy first. Man,
well, you know what?
I love
you know
that.
The best picture of that is
what?
Remember when he sent money to Iran after the deal was signed?
Yes.
And he did it in pallets full of unmarked bills.
Yes.
Okay. He sent them pallets full of unmarked bills. If that's not capitulation, I don't know what is.
And what did we get for all that cash? Not anything.
We got four people back.
We got four people back, and they tried
but
to say, no, we weren't
right.
Bribing them.
I think we ended up, we gave them $1.7 billion in cash, and then their own money on top of it.
I can't even fathom that much money in bills, unmarked bills, It's just unbelievable that we did that. You write further in the article, Jeff, unlike reports circulating around the MSM and liberals on Twitter, the plan announced by President Trump is supported by his entire national security team, as General McMaster said during the Thursday night Iran strategy on the record briefing at the White House. The option selected by the president was the consensus recommendation of his administration, which of course includes both him and Secretary Mattis. Talk about that a little bit, will you, Jeff?
You know, a big part of what we hear about the press, and it's not only on the Iran deal, is the infighting of the national security team, et cetera, et cetera. It's not true. Okay. Especially you hear about McMaster, and that's somebody I followed a lot. But they, you know, Trump trusts his generals, his national security staff, and they all get together and they work out what they believe and present it to the president. And the president asks a lot of questions and decides whether or not he wants to go with their recommendation, wants to change it a little or whatever. But like, for example, they said that, you know, and they still point to, well, General Mattis said that we should stay in the deal. And it's like, okay. And they did stay in the deal. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yes,
it's ridiculous, the press. And I think part of it also is, part of it is the liberal press. Part of it is the Steve Bannon crew who doesn't like Tillerson. I'm not crazy about Tillerson either. But McMaster, and I'm not sure about Kelly, but he thinks they're all wimps. They're not. I mean, they're people that serve this country, especially, you know, McMaster and Kelly. They've served this country with honor for decades.
Yeah, they're generals, for heaven's sake. These are generals. Right. And these are not political appointments like we hear of in DOD that Obama placed there. These are guys that are true blue heroes that have served this nation. Kelly is a Marine. Man, is that guy fantastic. And I hear that McMaster is fantastic as well. Don't know as much about him, but these are great men.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, there were two things said about McMaster that I cleared up.
Right.
One was that he wasn't very friendly to Israel, and the way I got the real answer is I called up people who were generals on the national security staff in Israel. And they said, no, those reports are stupid.
So you actually went to Israel itself for confirmation.
Well, you know, I could get answers from people in the national security staff, but it's like if somebody, you know, a journalist came to you and said, do you like your boss? Unless you wanted to get out of, you know, lose your job, you're going to say, yeah, I like my boss. So I figured
unless
that going.
You're an idiot.
Right. I figured that going to people who they're saying McMaster didn't like, and I find out like they're his best friend. And these are people in the national security team of Israel. So I don't know. I learned a long time ago that whatever you hear in terms of news from Israel, don't believe it until you get two more sources.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Well, I think they should do that with most of their stories, actually. I liked it when General Kelly at the press briefing, which, by the way, he was marvelous.
Wasn't he wonderful?
He was wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of that briefing. I got to tell you, I was grinning from ear to ear. And what was amazing, Jeff, was the press pool there. You could tell, by and large, they were having a good time. They were smiling and clamoring and grinning from ear to ear, even though you know that there's liberals there that are trying to ask him questions. But he still got them to smile.
As a general, he was always like that. You know, when he had to answer the press in war zones.
Yes.
So,
He was fabulous, but he did caution them. I would advise you to get better sources.
Was that wonderful or
that
what?
Was fantastic. And you could tell everything that he said, he was being very measured because there are security clearances for every piece of information.
Of course.
And he wanted to honor that. And you could tell he was being careful, but yet there is an affability and an openness about him that was winsome and fun.
And I think that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is doing a great job.
Oh, I think she's doing a great job. She is a serious person with a good mind and intellect, but when she takes the mic, she gets a little more serious and intentional.
She doesn't want to be pushed around. Right.
Yeah.
But she's not as intense as Sean Spicer was. And I think Sean Spicer is a great guy.
Oh, I liked Sean Spicer. I really, really did and still do. But I think being a woman, they know that she's Huck's daughter, all this kind of stuff. So I think that her demeanor up there is a little more stoic, if you will, and because she wants them to know that she means business and she's not going to be pushed around. And that's fine. That's fine. Whereas General Kelly, pretty much, they know this guy's a general. He's a Marine. He would not be pushed around ever in a million years. So he took more of a lighthearted tack, and boy, was it fun.
Yeah, he has the attitude as, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, and you don't even want to go there with a smile on his face.
Right. So
I loved it when he said, and that look I just had, that was my concentrating look on my face.
Yep.
That was
absolutely
so funny. That was so funny.
There are parts of the deal that just like, for example, when the president said that Iran broke the agreement or missed the heavy water goals twice during the Obama administration, he was 100% true. I actually wrote about it during the Obama administration, but Obama let them off the hook. But the really key thing, and this is how I knew he wasn't going to certify the deal, is that INRA, the atomic watchdog.
Energy Commission.
Right. When they announced that they couldn't confirm that Iran was sticking to the items on, it's Schedule T. And what Schedule T is of the agreement is like all the kind of little things like not developing trigger technology for nuclear bombs and things like that. There's a giant list of them in them. And the reason why they can't is because all that stuff was worked on in Iran's military bases. And Iran's not letting anyone on the military bases to inspect.
Right.
So the biggest items is not necessarily that Iran is breaking the deal as much as it is I can't tell you whether or not Iran is breaking the deal.
That's true.
If that's the case, well, then you know what? You got to assume they're breaking the deal. There's got to be a reason not letting people onto the military bases.
Yeah. You and I have talked about this before, and I said, well, we would be fools. Anyone would be a fool to believe that Iran is not doing something untoward because they will not allow people in to inspect. And, of course, it has to do with the military bases, but still, they will not let anyone in to inspect. It's purposefully there on the military basis. And if they won't let anyone inspect, as you said, we've got to assume that they're doing something nefarious. Now, the fact that they probably are doing something nefarious, and General Kelly alluded to that, the other generals have alluded to that, and they're concerned about it, and they're doing things about it, but they're not going to tell us what's being done. I was very, very happy for the president to decertify. Jeff, I want to continue this just briefly when we get back from the break, and we've got some other things to talk about as well. So think about that. I'll be back with my guest, Jeff Dunitz. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Guns. They're my friends down in Phoenix. It's a true custom firearms and firearms finishing shop located in Phoenix, Arizona, found online at robarguns.com. As I always say, they can give your worn firearm new life, but they also have some fantastic custom firearms they make, and there's some really big news for riflemen and women out there, especially if you know your history. I wrote an article about this yesterday, and I'm pretty excited about this news. After more than 20 years of being an integral element of the U.S. Coast Guard Homeland Defense and enemy interdiction, the Coast Guard is beginning to retire the Robar RC-50. For those of you who are unaware, Robar's RC-50, it's a 25-pound bolt-action sniper-style rifle. It's chambered to fire 50-cal BMG with a 29-inch barrel. It's been successfully used as an anti-material gun and even a long-range anti-personnel gun. So, as a lasting memorial to this rifle, Robar will debut the commemorative RC-50, and it's going to be engraved with United States property, USCG, and it's going to be revealed by or around Veterans Day. In fact, on the Tuesday before the big reveal, I'm having Robar president and owner Freddie Blish here on the show, and we're going to talk about the RC-50 and the history of these big, you know, chambered rifles and anti armor rifles. They're just amazing. We call them engine killers. So whether you want to give your worn firearm new life, you want a custom pistol rifle, or you want a piece of history, which will be the Robar RC-50 commemorative rifle, check out robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
On the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
The President and I have witnessed firsthand the compassion and commitment of Americans as friends, neighbors, and strangers continue to volunteer time and money to help one another following the recent hurricanes. Your help is still needed. Donate to an organization of your choice and volunteer to help your fellow Americans. Visit nvoad.org and ready.gov to learn more.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
The 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
You're on the 405.
We're back. This is Tammy Jackson with my guest, Jeff Dunitz. If you're just joining the show, Jeff Dunitz is a conservative and a Jew embedded in the blue territory of Long Island. He's my great, I have to say it the way you want me to. He's my great friend. Jeff, we were talking about the Iran deal before the break. And just to close that up, what is next? The president's decertified. He throws it back to Congress. Then what happens?
Congress has to come up with the items that they want to, you know, kind of make an Iran report card that Iran has to meet. And if he, if the president doesn't like it, he's going to pull out of the deal.
Okay.
And in between, he'll Chuck Schumer lie a lot.
Yeah, as always.
And somebody pushes glasses up.
Yeah, or give him some super glue or something. Yeah, those glasses are irritating, aren't they? Hey, really? Jeff, I want to talk a little bit about West Point, and then we're going to talk about some collusion. But you had an article a couple weeks ago that started a firestorm on the internet, especially a lot of other people wrote about it, too. You were one of the first to get out something. It was titled, Communist Pro-Copernic West Point Cadet Was Reported for Anti-U.S. Activity 2015. It talks about West Point graduate, second lieutenant in the U.S. Army, Spencer Rapone. He posted graduation pictures of himself on social media showing the inside of his cap where he had written Communism Will Win, and his t-shirt under his jacket featured the picture of Argentinian Marxist Che Guevara. Now, I shared
the article. He's a mass murderer.
Yes. And I shared the article at Barbed Wire, posted on Facebook. My military friends went absolutely crazy. It was despicable. You've got a new article up, active Army officer claims a number of them are teaching at West Point, them being communists. This is some crazy stuff going on. So I know this some bad people in there.
Yeah, this came from the Daily Caller. Okay, and basically, there are a lot of people who, according to this officer who didn't want his name to be released, that are avowed communists teaching at West Point. Now, you know, communism, when I look at it, it's not a political philosophy. It's not just, you know, liberalism versus conservatism. Communism, to become a communist state, you have to destroy the government that's there.
Right.
So basically, people who are teaching the cadets who have to protect the country are teaching them to destroy the country. Or at least their attitude is to destroy the country.
Yes, because the Hegel's dialectic said that you have a conflict and then it's resolved, then a conflict, then it's resolved. And that's all part of Marxism. And so there's got to be some kind of revolution. And then you end up with this government where, well, it's the opposite of a free market system and it's not something we want. People need
to making it easy. It's Barack Obama on steroids.
Yes. And people need to read this article. You need to go to lidblog.com and read this article. Active Army officer claims a number of them are teaching at West Point.
Actually, what makes this all hard for me is that it's really hard for me to say anything bad about people in the military because they're out there every day protecting my family and my butt. Okay. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And when I see something like this where they're, it's almost like stolen valor.
It is.
You know, but it's definitely people are taking, even Rapone, he took the seat the college, because not everyone gets into West Point, he took the college seat from a Patriot.
Right.
Who could have gotten it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely so.
And he's stealing salary because now he's a lieutenant.
Yeah, that's horrifying to me. It really, really is. And I hope something's done and done quickly. Now, we've just got 3 minutes left. You had another article that I want people to look at lidblog.com. It's titled,
okay, I'll give you the bottom line of this. Okay.
I know, but I got to give them the title of the article.
Sorry.
It's Bombshell Report Proves Collusion. This is not the Russian collusion you were looking for. Now go.
That was my Star Wars illusion. Listen.
I know.
Okay.
Nothing to see here.
Way before all this Russian collusion stuff, and before the Uranium One deal, there is proof that the Russians, okay, gave some money to the Clinton Foundation and a lot to Bill, okay, and at the same time, they were. Our FBI or our feds had a mole in the Russian nuclear officials, and the Russians were trying to get our inventory. They were trying to mess with our nuclear program, with our supplies. They even got themselves into one of the trucking companies that ship our nuclear stuff across the country. Okay, now why this is important? Is because about a year, and the FBI knew this in 2009. In 2010, Hillary approved a deal with Uranium One where Russia got control of about 20% of our uranium supply.
Correct. Terrible deal. People ought to be up in arms about.
These people were eventually arrested 4 years later. The Russians. And they were thrown in jail for, you know, for the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which is, I think, one of the reasons why Piers Morgan is no longer in the country. But but these people, I mean, they kept it. It seems like they kept it silent the whole time because I don't know. There was one of these people who were running for president, Hillary or something.
Something like that.
Okay. When they arrested these people, it was 2015. And actually, I even have the indictment, a copy of the indictment on the Post. So
yes.
Basically, they're, because she was running for president, at least in my personal opinion, they kept the whole thing quiet.
Of course. Of course. Anything for Queen Hillary.
Well, you know, they didn't want to do anything to make Hillary look bad. I mean, well, she was great doing that at her own.
Yeah,
her own.
She did a good enough job of looking bad without.
And I don't mean
help.
Physically looking bad. I mean doing crooked things.
Right, right. We're not talking about her physically. We're not making fun of her, but we are talking the truth. Wow, the time has just sped along. Once again, everybody, both these articles, they're linked on the show post.
Can I just say one more quick thing?
Yes, you can, Jeff.
I had no idea that Harvey Weinstein was doing what he was doing. So I, you know, accusing people of like knowing and keeping silent, I had no idea.
Okay,
I'm glad to know that.
I'm glad you cleared that up, Jeff. The stain is gone from your name, just in case.
Yeah, but it's still on my shirt. I had pizza for lunch. But
of course you did. Hey, Jeff Dunitz, people can find you at
lidblog.com.
And lidblog.com and Lid's Vids. But if you find him at Yid with Lid on Twitter, he tweets about his shows. He has great people on his shows. His show's coming up tomorrow at 2 p.m.
He had a real wacko guest last week.
Some blonde from the Northwest.
Yeah.
Craziness. Such
Oregon.
Craziness. I know. Jeff, thanks, my friend, for taking the time to be on the show tonight.
Anytime, Tammy. It's wonderful to be with you.
Good deal.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with commentator Timothy Shea. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. Rent-A-Computer delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and even copiers. If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides a superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Everybody, this is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show, and now joined by my guest, Timothy Shea. Timothy Shea has been active in GOP politics deep behind enemy lines in the Northeast for over 40 years. He's the former host of Radio Red Nation Rising. He's a political commentator and essayist. Timothy, my friend, welcome back to the Tammy Jackson Show.
Tammy, great to be on with you again.
Of course, I love having you. Well, let's start with the national anthem. Timothy, you and I know we've got a nation full of football fans who are not going to games, not viewing games on the TV, thanks to childish, disrespectful NFL players taking a knee during the national anthem. I think it's disgraceful, and I won't watch.
Tammy, I grew up a huge sports fan. I mean, when I was a kid, I could tell you whose batting average was what during the season, game by game, as it changed. And I've dropped the NFL completely. I was a big New York Giants fan, a big New England Patriots fan. I couldn't even tell you their records.
Yes.
This is predicated on a lie, just like every single thing with Black Lives Matters. I have taken Sheriff David A. Clark's hashtag Black Lives Matter, because it's all predicated on a lie. From Trayvon Martin to Hands Up, Don't Shoot, to this whole thing with the national anthem. Let's not forget, I need to take people back. Colin Kaepernick first took a knee to protest the police.
Yep.
The NFL had no problem with that. Colin Kaepernick wore socks with police officers, with pigs dressed up as police officers on the socks, at a practice where he could be photographed in violation of NFL rules. The NFL had no problem with that. The Dallas Cowboys wanted to put an emblem on their decal emblem on their helmet to honor the five officers that were slain trying to protect Black Lives Matter protesters from the sniper. The NFL had a problem with that. Okay, guess what? America has now a problem with the NFL. Roger Goodell has got to be the stupidest man in the entire country, because he's making 20-some million dollars a year. He just signed a new contract. He's making over $20 million a year. He took the sport that was, by all measures, number one in the country. Football became America's sport. And now I'm gleeful when I see stadiums that are two-thirds empty.
Yes, I am as well, and it's just unbelievable, this whole thing. It's based on a lie, and then there's the disrespecting our flag, our national anthem, our veterans. Kids can't wear T-shirts with the American flag on them or the Second Amendment to public schools, but they can do a Cinco de Mayo T-shirt. I mean, it's just all out of control. And I have a piece of audio. It's a little bit long. I want to play it, and I found it thanks to you, Tim. We're going to play it and then talk about it. Let me set it up. The audio is from a Facebook video posted on Saturday by Pamela D. Gowdry. She's a gynecologist at Memorial University Medical Center in Savannah, Georgia. Pamela recounts what happened on a flight she was on Delta Airlines. People need to hear this story. Once again, it's a bit long, 6.5 minutes, but I think it's worth hearing. I think you need to hear this. It's very, very moving. It will make you be teary-eyed and angry at the same time, I think. Let's listen to Pamela Gowdry tell her story.
Hey, my name is Pam Gowdry. I am a physician, and I am the wife of a deceased Navy captain, and not who died in the line of duty. And he gave 20 years of his life to the Navy. I just did the most uncourageous thing in my life today. And I'm sharing it, and I hope that somehow it gets to people all around, and even the president. So I was on a flight from Philadelphia to Atlanta today, and we had a deceased soldier who was also accompanied by his best friend, a man in uniform. And the captain came on and asked if we would all remain seated while the soldier got off the plane first, and while the honor guard took the deceased soldier out of the plane, which was great. I had an idea. It was just one of those spontaneous ideas that it would be so neat when this soldier stood up, and while the honor guard was going off, taking him off, that we should sing the national anthem. And so I went around to each seat, and I asked if people felt comfortable doing it, if they would join me. And most people were thrilled out of their minds, and several women cried and said, you know, that's so beautiful. And I had so many people come up to me and say, you know, we should make a habit of this, and this would be great. And, you know, it's a great honor to the boys' parents and wife and perhaps children. Anyway, I went to every seat, and some people said fine, and others didn't want to do it, which was fine. I just said, whatever you feel comfortable doing. And after I sat back down, it was apparent that the plane was starting to descend, and the chief flight attendant came up to my seat, and she kneeled down, and she said, it is against company policy to do what you're doing. And I said, the national anthem? And there's a soldier on board. And she said, yes, you cannot sing the national anthem. It is against
your attention, please.
Company policy. And
please maintain control of your bags at all times and report any unattended baggage.
I said, well, I just told every single person on this plane that we were going to do it. Are you going to tell them not to? Because I'm not. I'm not going around and telling them not to sing. But they did make an announcement that we were to stay quietly in our seats and be very quiet. And she did not tell the rest of the plane that this singing the national anthem for this soldier was against company policy. She told me that several of the people on the plane were from other countries and that they were uncomfortable with us singing the national anthem. So the soldier got up, they whisked him out very quickly, which I assumed would happen when word got out to the flight crew that we were going to do this. And we all sat in silence as the honor guard took the soldier off the plane. I was a little scared that I would be taken away by, I didn't know what would happen to me if I started singing, but I'm humiliated by my lack of courage to sing the national anthem in my own country on American soil. With a deceased soldier on the plane. I wish I could have been an example for my children. I'm glad my husband, my former husband, is deceased, because he would have been profoundly disappointed in me. And I can tell you that having been in Vietnam and saved a lot of people's lives there, he would have been horribly disappointed in me. So I just wanted people to know that this happened. Obviously, I'm still in the airport and disheveled because I've been flying all day and emotional because this happened. Many people on the plane were upset and they said, all we can do is pray. All we can do is pray that this will be, that this kind of thing doesn't continue to happen. I wish I had had more courage to start singing. It's too late now. I know a lot of people were upset that it didn't happen, and I guess some people were happy. So hopefully this will get shared around the country, and people will know that it is the policy of Delta to not be able to sing the national anthem on one of their planes. I guess that's all I got to say. Y'all have a great rest of the weekend.
That was an amazing, amazing story. I'm so glad you brought that to my attention, Timothy. In case you're just joining the show, my guest is Timothy Shea. He's been in GOP politics for over 40 years in the Northeast. He's a New Yorker, like my first guest was. And we just listened to the audio of Pamela Gowdery telling her story, how she was told not to sing the national anthem on a Delta airplane. Unbelievable, Timothy.
It really was, Tammy, and this is cultural Marxism.
Yes.
This is what they are trying to do. They are trying to cow us. They are trying to shut us up. Well, as I said in the break, I was really surprised because Pamela took the initiative. She had the idea. Great idea. She took the initiative to get everybody on the plane aware of what they wanted to do. And I was really surprised that she didn't follow through, because maybe it's being Irish. Maybe it's having grown up in the Northeast. Maybe it's just having gone to Catholic school. But pretty much the only way to get me to do something is to tell me that I can't do it. You tell me I'm not allowed, baby, I'm up and singing.
I know you told me that. I was just roaring. But
I do want to give her credit, though, for posting it, because the easy thing for her to do would have been to have been ashamed and to not let anybody know what was going on. But she didn't. Right. She was very brave. And as painful as it obviously was, she did expose the fact that, in her words, that she acted cowardly. You know, she felt that she'd acted cowardly. I think she acted probably reasonably, because, as we discussed off air, she might have been taken off the plane and made to look like one of those crazy loons that we've seen drug off planes.
Yes.
But this is a win for the cultural Marxists that want to shut us up. They want us to be more worried about the three people who aren't from the United States, more worried about their sensibilities than for the 97 people who are from the United States and thought
and
it was a great idea.
Legally from the United States, yes.
Well, exactly. I was just talking about passengers. But, yeah, we cannot give in to these people. You cannot give them a millimeter. You have to fight them. This is what my mission has been all my life, is to get people to know their rights and to stand up and defend them.
Absolutely. So, Timothy, you told me you had some good news that kind of related.
Well, getting back, you know, this whole, you see, they were losing on the anti-police rhetoric,
right,
with this take a knee protest.
So
now they've tried to morph it into, oh, it's just, it's First Amendment. Well, guess what? You don't have a First Amendment right with a private employee.
Looks like we've lost Timothy somehow. Somehow, Timothy is gone, and we will take a short break and find him, folks. This is Tammy Jackson. You're listening to The Tammy Jackson Show, and my guest, Timothy Shea, will be right back.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
The President and I have witnessed firsthand the compassion and commitment of Americans as friends, neighbors, and strangers continue to volunteer time and money to help one another following the recent hurricanes. Your help is still needed. Donate to an organization of your choice and volunteer to help your fellow Americans. Visit nvoad.org and ready.gov to learn more.
Back, folks. This is Tammy Jackson on The Tammy Jackson Show. In the last few minutes of the show, in fact, and we found the guest, Timothy Shea. Obviously, he needed to go hit the water cooler, take a little break, but we're back and talking about new stuff. Before the break, we were talking about the national anthem, and pretty much we're for the national anthem, and we're against those that disrespect it.
Yeah, Tammy, in the last few minutes, I really want to talk about this breaking story that we have, that the FBI for 15 months was investigating the Uranium One sale. Let's not forget who the players are, okay? At the time, Barack Obama was president.
Yes.
Robert Mueller was head of the FBI. Rod Rosenstein, who is now the deputy attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, after Jeff Sessions recused himself, was the one who appointed former FBI head Robert Mueller to investigate Russian collusion. Well, Mueller was also head of the FBI when the FBI was investigating this Russian involvement with the sale of Uranium One, the Canadian company, to Russian interests. It's a massive bribery and kickback case, which was brought in federal court by Rod Rosenstein. So, and then Rosenstein names Mueller to investigate Trump. I mean, all Rosenstein has done is trigger a massive cover-up, because there's no way that Mueller is going to investigate himself, Hillary Clinton, his protege, Comey. All of these criminals are in it together, okay?
The sounds pretty incestuous to me.
The fox is absolutely ruling the chicken roost. It's not just in the hen house. The fox is running the show, okay? We need all of them wiped out. Rosenstein needs, and I tweeted all this to Donald Trump tonight, Donald Trump Jr. tonight, in response to his post about this. Rosenstein needs to be fired. Mueller needs to be fired. We need a new special counsel appointed to investigate Mueller, Comey, Rosenstein, Hillary Clinton, and Attorney General at the time, Eric Holder.
Wow. Okay?
They had evidence, to the point where convictions were secured in federal court for the bribery and kickbacks that were going on in this whole scheme, but they didn't take it the next level to tie those into the $500,000 that Bill Clinton got for a speech before the deal went through. They didn't tie it to Hillary Clinton, who was sitting on CFIUS, the Committee for Foreign Investment in the U.S., the 13-member panel that has to approve deals that could impact the United States national security. Holder was the attorney general. He was on CFIUS at the time. Hillary was the secretary of state. She was on it as well. The FBI gave CFIUS proof that there were kickbacks and bribes from Russia to the Canadian company through a whole bunch of intermediaries who have ended up in federal prison, thanks to Rod Rosenstein, who was the assistant or the U.S. attorney in Maryland who prosecuted the case.
Wow.
Okay? This is 100 times bigger, literally 100 times bigger than Watergate. Watergate was nothing compared to this.
My goodness.
If these people don't go to prison, we are no longer a nation of laws. And I know that Donald Trump, is the first campaign promise he broke was to send Hillary to jail, saying, and I quote, "No, she's suffered too much already." Well, guess what? I don't care how much she suffered. I don't care that she broke her foot last night. All I care about is that she broke the law and she needs to be held accountable.
Yeah, we are.
The law. Rice broke the law. They all broke the law. And I demand justice. And all of your listeners should, too.
Yeah, great. It's interesting because Jeff Dunitz, who was my first guest, we talked about this. He said, there was collusion, but it wasn't with this administration. It was prior. So we kind of set it up for what you just further explained. And this is unbelievable stuff. I knew something was going on when Comey would not recommend to indict Hillary Clinton, even though he laid out the case better than Perry Mason ever could.
He drafted the letter exonerating her 3 months before he even spoke to her.
Yes, which we found out after everything. And I think, oh my goodness, because all of us, I know you were thinking the same thing, Timothy, when we're watching that and he was laying out
the case. Oh, I was up on my feet cheering.
Yes, because we knew he was laying out the case perfectly. Yeah. And then he gets to the end and
bait, switch.
Bait and switch, does not recommend to indict or to litigate her further. I'm thinking, wait a minute, what just happened?
He laid
out his case perfectly to show that, yes, we need to indict or investigate. This needs to go forward. I need to recommend that this goes forward. And then he turned, pivoted, and that didn't happen. So this begins to make sense, Timothy, with all these people acting in collusion with this whole Russian deal and everything that's happening. Wow.
Well, folks, follow me on Twitter at TimboTim62. I am not going to let this rest until we see justice. I'm tweeting the president. I'm tweeting his son. I'm tweeting everybody involved. I've got my congressman on this. We are going to raise holy hell until justice is done.
Wow. As it should be. Hillary and the whole gang should be wearing orange, as far as I'm concerned. we've got about a minute and a half till we got to come on the hard break at the top of the hour and wrap things up. I want to ask you, Timothy, tell the listeners why President Trump's health care executive order is not unconstitutional.
Everybody thinks that because he used an executive order, it's unconstitutional. That is incorrect. The way Obama used executive orders to circumvent the law was unconstitutional. All the president did last Friday was, number one, establish the administration's policy with regard to health care. Okay, that is called inherent authority. He has the inherent authority by virtue of the fact that he's president of the United States to set policy for the executive branch. That's number one. Number two is all the EO did last Friday was to order agencies to implement laws to work together, namely the ERISA law of 1986 and the Affordable Care Act. He didn't go around the Affordable Care Act. He's directing executive agencies to work with to establish health care policies using the ACA in conjunction with ERISA, okay? And for all of these leftists that are saying that he's gutted Obamacare, guess what? All he did was reset the clock to 15 months ago because Obama...
Well, it sounds like on that note... We're done with Timothy for the night. What I'm going to tell him is that we need to take a drive, get a fun.
We get cut off again.
Oh, you're back. We got cut off, and I was just starting to wrap up, but we're coming up on the hard break here, and so what we're telling people is this is not unconstitutional. The Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution vests executive powers in the president, and he can do things like this. He's not circumventing law, and he's not circumventing even the ACA, so that's good to know. But Timothy, I really want to thank you for bringing up exactly what's been happening with the Russian Hillary, Holder, Comey, et cetera, collusion, and that everybody needs to get on board with this. They all need to follow you and do what they can. If we got to clamor and shout and get out the pitchforks, whatever it takes to see justice done.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tammy.
Thanks for being on the show, Timothy. You're a great friend. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth. And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang. Ooh. Ooh. I tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't keep me quiet. I will break the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. night I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my